Today, the madness of markets disconnects from reality. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. We're on the latest post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Markets seem to be in some sort of self-reinforcing feedback loop at the moment, with the MSCI Global Index up another 2.38% over the past week, while the All Asia ex Japan rose 6.68% for the week and 2.11% just on Friday. And even the European Stoxx 600 was higher, although it did ease back on Friday. In contrast, Australia's ASX 200 fell 1.5% on Friday to be flat for the week after the Reserve Bank hiked interest rates by 25 basis points and warned of higher inflation that could stifle growth. But the S&P 500 in the US closed at a record high after topping 7,400 for the first time, as the seemingly relentless rally in semiconductor stocks, as well as the three biggest megacap techs, gathered momentum. This is a bubble. At the close, the S&P 500 was 0.8% higher at 7,398, and it earlier peaked at 7,401. The benchmark has added more than $10 trillion US dollars in market cap in the last 29 trading days. A year ago, the index was at 5,600. 5 years ago, it was at 4,200. And 10 years ago, it was at 2,100. The S&P 500 reset its record high three times just in the last week. The NASDAQ composite gained 1.7% on Friday. The Dow reversed earlier modest losses to edge up just 0.03%. The blue chip gauge lagged its two peers, primarily due to a fall in Dow 30 components, McDonald's, and Salesforce. The S&P 500 has now gained 8% in 2026, while the NASDAQ rallied 13%. Now we can sheet much of the momentum to the ongoing AI boom, with the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index surging 5.5% on Friday, taking its one-week rise to more than 10% and its year-to-date gain more than 64%. Micron Technology was up 15.5%, and Intel was up 13.9% after the Wall Street Journal reported that it reached a tentative agreement to supply Apple with chips for its devices. AMD rose 11.4%, and Qualcomm was up 8.2%. SanDisk added 16.6%. Nvidia, Alphabet, and Apple, the three most valuable publicly traded companies in the world, each reset their own record highs. The collective market value of just those three companies topped $14 trillion US dollars. Nvidia rose 1.8% to reach a market cap of $5.23 trillion. Alphabet added 0.4% to close the week at $4.84 trillion. And Apple advanced 2% to hit $4.31 trillion US dollars. Ooh, big numbers. So far, quarterly earnings have exceeded expectations, with a 19-quarter high of 11.9%, thanks in main to, guess what, AI-related stocks. Though CoreWeave stock slumped 11.4% after the artificial intelligence hyperscaler reported a significant miss on quarterly profit and gave a disappointing current quarterly revenue outlook. And Cloudflare plunged 24% after the cloud services company said it would cut about 20% of its workforce and forecast second quarter revenue slightly below Wall Street expectations. So actually, the AI story and tech story is much, much more complicated. That said, of the 440 S&P 500 companies that have reported first quarter results so far, 83% topped analysts' earnings estimates, compared with a long-term average of around 67%. Also driving sentiment was the latest non-farm payroll report, with the US economy adding 115,000 jobs last month and an unemployment rate steady at 4.3%. While the report was closely anticipated, it comes at a time when market participants and watchers of monetary policy are actually more focused on inflation due to surging oil prices sparked by the ongoing Middle East conflict. Analysts noted that the April data suggested a hit to wage growth due to inflation, and lagging inflationary pressure still risks sending the economy into a tailspin. The University of Michigan on Friday said consumer sentiment in May slid to 48.2 from 49.8 in April. That's according to their preliminary estimates. This is the lowest reading on record. Consumers continue to feel buffeted by cost pressures led by soaring prices at the pump. Middle East developments are unlikely to meaningfully boost sentiment until supply disruptions have been fully resolved and energy prices fall, the University of Michigan said. A US trade court ruled on Thursday that President Donald Trump's latest 10% temporary global duties are unjustified under a 1970s trade law, but the administration appealed the ruling on Friday, and analysts expect little overall impact on US levies, at least for now. But the smouldering Gulf War continues. Investors do appear to be looking through the clashes between US and Iran and the prospect of an end to hostilities ahead. New skirmishes in the Strait of Hormuz kept traders on edge, though. President Donald Trump told ABC News that the US-Iran ceasefire was still in effect despite the fresh fighting. The flare-up in fighting comes at a time when Iran said that it was still reviewing a new one-page 14-point proposal that could potentially bring an end to the conflict and that it had not yet reached a conclusion. The US earlier this week launched and then paused an effort called Project Freedom to safely help commercial ships transit the strait. And meanwhile, the US military, since the middle of April, has maintained a blockade of Iran's ports and coastline in order to pressure Tehran. New satellite imagery has shown a major oil spill off Iran's Karg Island, with reports estimating tens of thousands of barrels that may have leaked into the Persian Gulf, which is, of course, more madness. Oil prices surged on Friday after the US intercepted Iranian attacks and launched retaliatory strikes on Iranian military sites, further spooking markets with the inflationary spectre of the Iran war. Brent crude futures expiring in July was up 0.5% to $100.25 a barrel, while US West Texas Intermediate was at $95.42, and LNG was at 43.8, down for the week, though up for the day, and still 56% higher year to date, which all sounds very inflationary to me. The volatility index was up 0.59% to a relatively low 17.18. But treasuries were mixed, with the 10-year at 4.357% and the 2-year at 3.893%, still higher across the week but off recent highs. Gold futures for June delivery was up 0.33% to $4,730 a troy ounce. A weaker dollar usually boosts gold, as it makes bullion less expensive for foreign buyers. Gold has fallen more than 10% since the Iran conflict erupted in late February, pressurized by soaring oil prices that fueled inflation fears and lifted interest rate expectations. The euro-US dollar was up 0.52% to 1.1785, while the US dollar-Japanese yen fell 0.12% to 156.68. The US dollar index futures was down 0.22% to 97.84 as the dollar edged lower for a second straight weekly decline. European stocks declined on Friday as a fresh exchange of fire between US and Iran shook confidence in a month-long ceasefire, sending investors fleeing risk assets amid deepening fears over global energy supplies. The pan-European stock 600 slid 0.7%. Germany's DAX dropped 1.4%. And the FTSE in the UK fell 0.4%, while France's CAC 40 declined 1.1%. France's transport minister said he did not expect massive flight cancellations this summer despite jet fuel shortages, although Transavia France has already cut 2% of its May and June flights as Europe scrambles for alternatives to Middle Eastern supplies that account for 3/4 of the continent's aviation fuel. IAG, the owner of British Airlines, warned annual profit would be lower than forecast as soaring jet fuel costs linked to the Iran war weighs on earnings. And property portal Rightmove bucked the trend, reaffirming its 2026 guidance after its AI-powered tools drove core membership growth in line with expectations. But UK house prices edged down 0.1% in April, according to Halifax Mortgage data, leaving annual growth at just 0.4%, well below the 0.6% that economists had forecast. The modest decline points to continued affordability pressures on British buyers as elevated borrowing costs and geopolitical uncertainty dampens demand. The mood was further darkened by British political developments as Keir Starmer's Labour Party suffered heavy losses in local elections, with the populist Reform UK party of Nigel Farage making sweeping gains across England, Scotland and Wales just 2 years after its national landslide. The main beneficiary was Nigel Farage's Reform UK, which captured more than 300 council seats and is poised to become a major opposition force in Scotland and Wales. Gilts climbed higher during the week, but then settled back with the 10-year at 4.919% and the 2-year at 4.378%. Asian stocks fell on Friday, with Japanese and South Korean markets coming off record highs as renewed military action between the US and Iran dampened hopes for an end of the war anytime soon. But overall losses were limited as technology shares remained resilient, thanks to optimism over AI. South Korea's KOSPI was among the worst performers for the day, falling 1.6%, but coming further off record highs hit earlier in the week. The index was by far still the best performing Asian exchange this week, with around an 11% gain. That was largely on the strength of local chip making stocks, with memory chip giant Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix logging strong gains on growing optimism over the AI industry. Samsung fell 3% on Friday, while SK Hynix shed 1.5% after a strong week of record highs. Losses, though, in SK Hynix were limited after Reuters reported the company was courting unprecedented offers from major technology companies seeking to source, guess what, memory chip supplies. Broader Asian stocks retreated on Friday, dented by the escalation in the Iran-US military action in the Straits of Hormuz. The flare-up largely dented earlier hopes that a lasting peace deal between the two was close. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Topic indices fell around 1% each, but the Nikkei was still up around 5% across the week, having returned from the Golden Week holiday with strong gains. Strong Japanese wage data, which shows real wages increasing for a third consecutive month in March, furthered bets of an interest rate hike by the Bank of Japan coming soon. The Nikkei volatility, which measures the implied volatility of the Nikkei 225 options, was down 5.4% to 34.16. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices fell 0.5% and 0.2% respectively, but were still up about 1% across the week. Hong Kong's Hang Seng indexed at 1.2%, but was still up 2% across the week, thanks to gains in technology. India's Nifty 50 lost another 0.6% to be down more than 7% so far this year. Australian shares fell the most in 7 weeks, around $50 billion wiped off as renewed hostilities between the US and Iran sent oil prices higher and rattled hopes of a peace deal. The ASX 200 fell 1.5% to 8,744, with 10 of the 11 sectors weaker. The decline was the steepest since March the 19th, when equities hit their record recent low and left the benchmark up just 0.2% for the week. Financials were the worst performing sector on the ASX, with Westpac dropping 4.8% to $37.44 as it traded ex-dividend. National Australia Bank fell 2.9% to $38.36. Commonwealth Bank was down 1.9% to $155.91. And ANZ fell 1.5% to $36.79. Macquarie performed better than the broader route to end just 1.1% down at $239.23. It followed a strongly expected result with annual profits up 30% to $4.85 billion, and its second half profit 70% ahead of consensus. Energy was down despite an oil price bounce. Woodside Energy eased 1.4% to $3.05, and Santos was 1.4% lower at $7.52. Communication services was actually the sole sector up, as News Corp advanced 2.6% to $43.17 after a stronger than expected third quarter, with revenue and EBITDA both ahead of forecasts. Tabcorp was the market laggard, as it died 14.2% to 75.5 cents following a series of broker cuts, extending a 23.5% drop in the previous session after AUSTRAC launched a probe. Gambling company Light & Wonder was the top riser, up 11.7% to $114.64. In corporate news, REA Group rose 1.4% to $176.89 after it reported double-digit revenue growth in Australia and lowered cost guidance for the 2026 fiscal year. QBE Insurance lost 1.6% to $20.30 as the insurer reaffirmed its financial year 26 guidance and said its direct exposure to the Middle East conflict was around $60 million. And Pangola International Equities jumped 1.6% to $1.27 after it enlisted Antipodes to manage its global equities portfolio in a bid to address its persistent discount to net tangible assets. The Aussie was last at 72.48 US cents and 53.15 UK pence, as analysts suggest that the US dollar is set to climb to around 75 US cents, as higher interest rates and surging commodity prices outweigh the uncertainty about global growth caused by the lengthening conflict in the Middle East. This week, after the Reserve Bank of Australia lifted rates for the third consecutive meeting, it hit a four-year high to 72.77 US cents. At 4.35%, the cash rate is the highest among major developed economies, thanks to a combination of high interest rates and a big improvement in the terms of trade. That's the ratio of export prices to import prices. Another pillar of support is the RBA's bias towards tightening policy. Even if the central bank does not follow through with more rate rises, the mere threat of doing so will keep the Australian dollar stronger. Because Australia was a net seller of energy, it has gained from the global energy shock that has sent oil prices above $100 a barrel. Australian bonds were higher, reflecting the expectation of higher interest rates, with the 10-year at 4.972% and the 2-year at 4.677%. And yes, fixed rate mortgages are heading higher on the back of that too. And finally, in crypto, Bitcoin was little changed on Friday, with a sixth straight week of gains, aided by strong institutional buying, bargain demand, and as US lawmakers made some progress towards passing a key regulatory bill. It was last at 80,275, up 0.5% for a 2% weekly gain. Gains for the crypto were capped, though, after top corporate holder Strategy said that it would sell some of its holdings to pay dividends, although the scope and timing of the potential sales remained unclear. And elsewhere, Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange, received a letter from the US Treasury demanding that the company follow a monitoring program amid reports that $1 billion worth of crypto passed through the exchange to Iran-linked entities. The Treasury demanded that Binance comply with the so-called monitoring program that it had previously agreed to in 2023 after pleading guilty to charges related to sanctions and anti-money laundering violations. The letter was linked to reports that more than $1 billion passed through the exchange to Iran-linked groups in 2024 and 2025. Broader crypto prices ticked up marginally in tandem with Bitcoin. Most altcoins were set for just a muted week, though, with number two crypto Ether up 0.8% to $2,313, while XRP added 2.1% to $1.4211. Ahead, in Australia, Tuesday's federal budget is the key focus early next week. The NAB said the budget is expected to feature the most significant tax reform in a generation, with changes to negative gearing and the CGT discount widely expected. But we suspect Labor has leaked the worst-case scenarios to the press regarding their proposed tax changes in the budget so that the more mild reality will seem more palatable, unless they are making some very obvious and stupid mistakes that will cost the country and the budget long term. Key data releases through the coming week include the NAB Business Survey and the Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Survey on Tuesday. That sentiment survey in particular will be very interesting to see. There will be first quarter wage price data and lending indicators on Wednesday and consumer inflation expectations on Thursday. And overseas, China will release April consumer and producer price reports on Monday, and the US will release April CPI data as well. President Donald Trump is set to visit Beijing on Thursday and Friday. And back in Washington, Jerome Powell's term as chairman is set to end on Friday. But here is the truth. Markets have become unanchored from reality, and the AI hype won't offset the real inflationary pain coming as the Middle East clocks tick down. I discussed recently with Tarek Brooker. The question now is simply this. What will break first? Well, perhaps higher interest rates in Australia is a bit of a clue. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.